Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 14. If you're using the Pew Bible, you should find that on page 252. Judges chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on, eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Put your riddle that we may hear it." And he said to them, "Out of Eder came something to eat. Out of the storm came something sweet." And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" And Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you?" She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted, and on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to our people, and the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not found out my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town, and took their spoil, and gave the garments to those who told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, it endures forever. Do you believe in love at first sight? Have you met or known someone but fallen in love at first sight. Is falling in love at first sight is even a thing? We can ask questions like these when we read the story of Samson and his marriage with the Timnite girl. While on the one hand, it is easy for us to be distracted with the hoopla surrounding Samson's marriage, but on the other hand, we see God has a secret purpose behind Samson's marriage, which neither Samson's parent nor Samson himself are aware of. A secret purpose of seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. A secret purpose of destroying them. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon this evening. The secret purpose of God behind Samson's marriage shows us that God accomplishes his purpose despite our own weakness. The secret purpose of God behind Samson's marriage shows us that God accomplishes his purpose despite our own weakness. We'll see this truth under 2 points. The secret that Samson's parents did not know, and the secret that Samson's companion did not know. Let us consider the first point of the sermon, the secret that Samson's parents did not know. Verse 1 tells us that Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. There are several interesting facts about Timnah. Firstly, Timnah was just 4 miles west of Samson's hometown, Zorah. Secondly, we know from Joshua chapter 19, verse 43, that Timnah was initially assigned to the tribe of Dan, the tribe which Samson belongs, but was later taken by the Philistines. And thirdly, if you go further back in our redemptive history, Timnah was a place of previous scandal. Genesis chapter 38, we can read where Judah impregnating his Canaanite daughter-in-law, Tamar. So Samson, he comes back home and he tells his parents, "I have fallen in love with one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now get the girl for me as my wife." And this might be completely strange to our Western minds, because, dude, why do you want to ask your parents' permission? Why do you want to ask your parents to talk with the girl's parents instead of you going talking with themselves? But in biblical times, that's a common practice. Let me give you some few examples. In Genesis chapter 21, we see Hagar. She's the one who arranges Ishmael's marriage. Likewise, in Genesis chapter 24, we find Abraham arranging Isaac's marriage. Likewise, in Judges chapter 1, we find Caleb arranging the marriage for his daughter, Asaph. And so this is also still a dominant practice in Asian culture. So when Samson's parents hear this news, they were upset, they were sad, and they exploded. "Are you serious, Samson? Isn't there any girl in our old tribe of Dan that you could please you? Isn't there any girl in our old nation of Israel could please you? Instead, you should go to those uncircumcised Philistines and find a wife there." But for Samson, information comes in one ear, it goes out the other. He looks straight to his dad's eye, and with clenched teeth, he says, "Get her for me." And what's the reason behind that? If you have your Bibles open, verse 2 tells us, it's because she is right in my eyes. Also in verse 7, the author of the book of Judges, he tells us that she was right in Samson's eye. She was right in his mind, she was right in his opinion, and she was right according to his own standard rather than God's standard. 2 things we can notice here. Firstly, Samson does not follow God's standard, but rather his own. And secondly, at the same time, Samson's parents' frustration, it seems simply cultural. It seems simply ethical rather than theological. They don't say, "Son, do you not know from scriptures that our God forbids intermarriages with non-Israelite because they do not belong to the covenant community? They are unbelievers. Or do you not know that God has called you to a special status, that you are a Nazarite, and that God has made a promise through you that deliverance would come through you? But one thing is sure that's happening at Samson's house. It's a lot of grief. It's a lot of misery. His parents are upset that he chose a pagan girl as his wife. And Samson is upset that he had to press his parents to get his Timnite girl. But in verse 4, we are given a secret which Samson's parents do not know. They did not know that it was from the Lord. The scripture tells us that God was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. It was from the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. And finally, Samson's parents would have known, they would have not lost sleep overnight. And again, they are not wrong in objecting to Samson's desire. It doesn't mean somehow Samson's desire is virtuous or right. To wise, the scripture says, Samson wanted the girl because it was right in his own eyes. But nevertheless, the Lord will accomplish his purpose despite Samson's recklessness or foolishness. The Lord will accomplish his purpose despite Samson's stubbornness. And Christian, this is the God of the scriptures, that he can and he will use the wickedness, the sinfulness, and even the stupidity of his servant, of his servants as a camouflage for bringing his secret purpose come to pass. Let me give you another example. Think about Judas Iscariot. From the very beginning, his heart is not from the Lord. He secretly helped himself with a money bag, and more than that, for 30 pieces of silver coin, he secretly agrees with the chief priest to betray Jesus. What he did was reckless. What he did was sinful. But behind the scenes, God was working. God brought a secret purpose into fruition, that even in this wicked act, that Judas betrayed Jesus for money, God brought his eternal plan to completion through the life, death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, so that the forgiveness of sins should be preached to all nations. That's the God of the scriptures, that he will accomplish his purpose despite our own weakness, despite our own sinfulness, and despite even our own recklessness. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can all derive hope and comfort from this text. Despite Samson's fleshly desire, despite the disappointment of Samson's parents, God is secretly working out his purpose. While Samson's family is busy, caught up in the moment, God is secretly working out his will. And again, lots of Christian parents, they have been in the same place like Samson's parents. They know their own struggles. They know their own weakness. They even know their own sins and temptations. They have earnestly prayed, sincerely disciplined, and faithfully taught the doctrines of grace, and biblically loved their sons and daughters who later on in life went rogue or completely rejected the Christian faith. And none of us here can deny this awful pain. And none of us here can deny this agonizing sorrow. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have a son or a daughter, or maybe even a grandson or a daughter like that, please remember the words that are given to us, which Samson's parents did not know. It was from the Lord. What we do not know may yet prove to be our deepest comfort. So Samson, somehow or the other, he convinced his parents to arrange a wedding with this Timnite woman, and all three of them, they go to Timnah. When they were in the vineyards of Timnah, Samson was ahead of their parents, and suddenly, out of nowhere, a young lion comes roaring towards Samson. How terrifying. Could you even imagine for a moment with me that out of nowhere you're walking on a street doing your own business, a pit bull charging against you? It'll be terrifying. Now the king of the jungle, majestic, powerful, its roar, it can be heard 5 miles apart. It comes out of nowhere and it's before you. What would you do? What would you and I would do? We would be petrified. But not Samson. Scripture tells us, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion as someone would tore a young goat. And what great strength. What great power. This mangled lion is a preview of what God is going to do through Samson. And the preview does not stop there. Because after the time of Judges, God will raise his servant David, who will not only kill many lions and bears that come after his father's sheep, but he will ultimately kill the uncircumcised Philistines, Dinosaur or Goliath, just with a sling and a stone. That's another preview of what God can do with his human servant, that he will accomplish his purpose. But ultimately, God uses his suffering servant, Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross, he slayed the greatest enemy of mankind, Satan. And he stripped him of all his power and strength. Jesus Christ, he crushed the head of the serpent at the cross of Calvary. And the question we need to ask ourselves is this: are we seeing the power of God working for us in our day-to-day life? Am I seeing his power in helping me to be more obedient to my parents? Am I seeing his power in teaching me, enabling me to teach my children about the Christian faith? Am I seeing his power in healing my broken relationship with my close friends or siblings? And when I'm talking about the power of God, I am talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson and he tore the young lion like a goat. It is the Holy Spirit who gave him the supernatural strength. And it is the same Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to do God's will for us in life. For we read in scriptures, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it tells us, not by might, not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, it's the same Spirit who lives inside of us. And sometimes it's hard to believe the struggles, the temptations, the sins that we face. It seems like it's impossible. It's impossible to overcome those things. But remember, the strength comes from the Lord. We need to cherish the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we celebrated last week, the Pentecostal Sunday, that God, in the name of Jesus, gave us the Holy Spirit. And let us rely upon the Holy Spirit each and every day of our lives. And Samson, surprisingly, he does not tell his parents about killing the lion with his bare hand. I don't know about you, but if I were Samson, I would have definitely taken a selfie with the lion. And I put it in Facebook and saying, kill the lion with my bare hand. But I don't know, but Samson keeps it a secret from his parents. But sometimes later, he visits his lady love again. And while going back on his way home, he turns his attention to the lion that he had killed earlier. And to his surprise, he sees there a swarm of bees in the body of lion, along with that, honey. And without no hesitation, he scraps it with his hand, he eats it, and he gives it to his parents. And again, he does not tell his parents the source of honey. What a shame. A man who had the power to kill a young lion with his bare hand, he does not have the same power to keep his Nazirite vow. Thrice in chapter 13, we read that the angel of the Lord told Samson's parents, "Do not drink wine or strong drink. Do not eat unclean food." You see, Samson not only defiled himself by eating honey from the dead lion, but in his perversity, he gives it to his parents. While Samson's parents sanctified him, he has desecrated them. Lord Acton, a British historian of the late 19th century and earlier 20th century, he once said, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely." It is an observation that a person's sense of morality lessens as his or her power increases. And this is true of all of us, especially for the office bearers, and especially for ministers of word and sacrament. When you don't have a name, when you're not famous, you are humble and you praise God for the victory that God gives you. But when you become popular and when you have millions of followers around the world, somehow you think that you are immune to sin and temptation. And you think somehow that you have the strength and power from your own. Think about Ravi Zacharias. He was known internationally as a Christian apologist. But sadly, in the past 2 years, after his death, we know a lot of scandal that were brought into light. Let me bring it home. Even in our own denomination, a former URC pastor in Pella, Iowa, he was sentenced to prison because of sex scandals. Christian, we need to realize that God, the Holy Spirit, is our true strength. And we need to be in our knees, praying to God that He would keep us safe from falling into sin and temptation. And I don't know about Samson, whether he praised God for enabling him to kill the lion, but you and I, we definitely have this obligation of praising God for every victory that He gives us through the blood of the Lamb by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us consider the second point of the sermon, the secret that Samson's companion did not know. Unaware of his defilement, Samson's father, he goes to Timnah to finalize the wedding arrangements. and to do the necessary thing for this arranged marriage. There, Samson prepares a feast. It is not just any feast. The Hebrew word used here is a drinking feast, a drinking party that will last 7 days. Samson, you already broke your Nazarite vow once, and now we are throwing a 7-day drinking party. And though the scripture does not tell us that Samson actually imbibed, but he's exposing himself to further danger. He's playing with fire. Puritan Thomas Brooks, in his book Precious Remedy Against Satan Devices, he says, the best course to prevent falling into the pit is to keep at the greatest distance from it. He who will be so bold as to attempt to dance upon the brink of the pit may find by awful experience that it is a righteous thing with God that he should fall into the pit. Christian, the scripture tells us, flee from the evil desires of the youth. The scripture tells us, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, do we then lead ourselves into temptation? Please keep greatest distance from sin. And since the Philistines, they were generous enough to give 30 men to Samson as his companion, Samson wants to return the favor by saying, guys, let me put a riddle to you and let us make a bet. In our Western phraseology, the stakes would be 30 new undershirts and 30 new suits. The Philistines responded, bring it on, Samson, game on. Tell us your riddle. And Samson tells them the riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the straw came something sweet. For 3 straight days, these guys, they were using their brains, thinking super hard, reading their puzzle books and magazines to come up with a solution. But in the end, no one could. They could not find the answer. So they become frustrated, irritated, and upset. And on the 4th day, they have a meeting with Samson's wife. Hello, Mrs. Samson. Do you care about your life and your father's house? Her answer was, of course I do. Well then, entice your husband, coax him so that he would tell you the answer of the riddle. If you're not going to do that, we will surely burn you and your father's house. And again, did you invite us to rob us and steal our property? Then Samson's wife, she threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me, you don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. And Samson's answer was, Look, woman, I have not told my father and my mother. Why should I tell you? What a messy marriage. Mrs. Samson, she cares more about her life and her father's property rather than telling the truth to Samson, she uses tears as a weapon. Likewise, Samson is no better. Does he not know from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh? So both of them are bad when it comes to the biblical principle of love, and both of them fail to understand the biblical principle in marriage. The sad part in all of this event is that Samson's duty was to rescue Israel from the hands of the Philistine. But instead, he goes to bed with them. But so Samson, she weeps all 7 days. And on the 7th day, Samson caves into pressure. The scripture tells us that because she pressed him so hard and nagged him so much, he finally gave her the answer. She in turn tells her people, and on the seventh day before sunset, the men of the city, they came to Samson. They say, "Hi, Samson, we have a couple of questions for you. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And immediately, Samson knew the source of the answer. He says to them, "If you have not plowed with my heifer," brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you never ever call your wife like what Samson did. This is disrespectful for who your wife is, and again, what a messy leader, weak, reckless, pitiful. But scripture tells us the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and Samson, he goes to Ashkelon. Now Ashkelon is approximately 25 miles southwest of Timnah. So Samson is in the heart of the Philistine city. And this is one of the five major cities. And there he strikes 30 men of the city, takes their spoil, gives it to his companion, and returns to his father's house in full fury. At the first impulse, we can mistakenly attribute this killing spree to Samson's anger, his frustration. But the scripture does not say that. And if you have your Bibles open, see, in fact, the text insists that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And then he went down to Ashkelon, that he struck down 30 men of the town. You see, the first time when the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson, he was given power to tear that young lion. The second time when the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson, he was given power to tear down 30 Philistines. This was the opportunity that the Lord was seeking. And here's the secret of all secrets. We knew the three secrets which Samson's parents did not know. We knew the secrets which Samson's companion, they did not know. But in verse 19, God opens the secret of all secret. The scripture tells us, "He will destroy Israel's enemy despite Israel's weak savior." Again, I invite you, look carefully at the text. Look carefully at the text. The text doesn't talk about Samson's frustration. The text doesn't talk about Samson's mood swing. But rather, it talks about the Spirit's power. And this, my friend, is the Lord, is the God of the Scriptures. The Lord will accomplish His purpose despite Samson's recklessness or foolishness. The Lord will accomplish His purpose despite Samson's stubbornness. And why? Because God made a promise. Chapter 13, verse 5. He said, "Through Samson, through him, he will begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines." And killing this seemingly random 30 Philistine is a small beginning of what is yet to come. And finally, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us praise God for not only His almighty power, but for His great faithfulness. Despite Samson being reckless and doing what is right in his own eyes, despite defiling himself with touching and eating food from the dead lion, despite playing with sin and by hosting a 7 days drinking party, and despite being unequally yoked by marrying an unbeliever, Samson begins to do what God has promised His people that He will do: deliverance from the hands of the Philistines. The secret purpose of God behind Samson's marriage is that It shows us that God will accomplish His purpose despite our own weakness. And let us praise Him like Moses, saying, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. There is no one like our Lord, our God." Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we are truly astonished by your divine wisdom and power. We are floored by your ability to use a wild and unruly Samson to accomplish your purpose. We are grateful for your faithfulness to your people, and we pray that you would give us grace, that we would not fall into sin and temptation, that we would guard our hearts. Please use us as you use Samson to bring honor and glory to your name and kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.